This is Culture Club HTX on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your hosts, Lisa Holland Nelson and Shavonna Robert Schreiber.
Hello, I'm Lisa Nelson Bowman Lombardi. The Fashionista, Bio Babe, Coach Nelson. So excited, the greatest football coach who never, ever walked the sideline. May never.
You should walk it in this outfit.
I should walk it in this outfit. You should see me today. I really do look pretty good, don't you think? And I'm here today with my beautiful,
She references her play card.
Yeah, I need my play card.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful, blessed, brilliant, beloved bestie, who is also bold, black, and bossy.
Whatever. It's fine. Shavonna Robert Schreiber, the other half of Culture Club HTX, the co-host, executive producer, eighth wonder of the world.
Eighth wonder, without a doubt.
You're welcome, folks.
Without a doubt.
And we're in Coach Nelson's corner. And before we get going, listen, we got a lot. Football season is here. So
hot dog. So excited.
Baseball boyfriend
by
Scott.
By the time you hear this, I will have breathed through Saturday's UT game.
I know. So baseball boyfriend Scott, check it out.
Okay. But so
shorten your.
She's going to shorten. Well, he'll be here next week in person.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'm going to set the timer because we got other stuff to talk about.
Okay.
Go, lovely.
Okay. Baseball boyfriend Scott. Here's his report for today. September baseball. To many in Texas, September means the start of football season. Yes, but to a baseball fan, September means pennant chases, the most exciting time of the year. Of baseball's six divisions, only two, AL Central and NL Central, have been pretty much decided. The other four are still up for grabs. Throw in the wild card possibilities. In addition to the current six division leaders, 10 teams have a realistic shot at the playoffs. I'm so excited. The Astros are in a tight race with the Mariners for the AL West crown, but Fangraphs, whatever that is, gives them over a 90% chance of making the playoffs. Here we go. But will they? The good news is that slowly but surely the Astros are getting some of their better players back from the injured list. Already on the squad are McCullers, Javier, Argetti, McCormick, and most importantly, Yordan Alvarez. Waiting in the wings are Jake Myers, J.P. France, Luis Garcia, Zach DiCenzo, and maybe even Isaac Paredes and Josh Hader. On paper, these reinforcements would give the Astros both a deep lineup and bench, as well as a formidable rotation. But the games aren't played in paper. On paper. Should I skip some of these?
Yeah, you got to skip them. You're on
I'm on page two. Okay. So here we go.
Get to the summation. Let's bottom line it.
A few shows ago, I said the Astros needed two things to make the playoffs. Carlos Correa to be Carlos Correa and Yordan Alvarez to be Yordan Alvarez. Well, Carlos Correa, in my mind, has exceeded expectations. Yordan's start has been promising. Is it enough? It's September baseball. Stay tuned.
And stand by. Okay, that
Let's
was good.
Let's get to football now.
Okay, perfect. So, now this is really exciting. So, Cal and Hannah McNair believe that our Texans are close, pretty close, not just close, but pretty close to a championship. What do you think?
Well, I think it's really exciting, but I do understand there's a little mix of mixing in there.
That's
trepidatious, but I'm so excited that they're optimistic about the team, and they also feel like they would have beat Kansas City last year.
You know, whenever people say that, I'm like, shoulda, coulda, what's your dad say?
Shoulda, woulda, coulda, never could.
Yeah, can't, never could. Yeah.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda themselves.
Correct.
That's really what
So I'm like, I don't get into that, but I do think that's exciting because obviously they have more information than we do.
Well, two crucial penalties on Mahomes that led to 10 Kansas City points. That, you know, we weren't stupid making penalties. Well, if we weren't stupid making penalties, we would have been Super Bowl champs 22 years ago.
Correct.
So there you go, as would everybody else.
So
but however.
Here's the deal. So the Texans did make pretty aggressive offseason roster changes, and they've reconstructed the organization. And the team is convinced they're just a few key pieces, key players away from making a run at
it. And they've had a couple of really good wins.
They have. So then,
you know, our key players.
What about, so you talked about Mixon. So what's the GM, Nick Caserio, saying about Joe Mixon? Lovely.
He's being more silent than we wished. You know, Mixon's, and I mean, Mixon's on this special injury list, right?
What is that?
I don't know. In a NFI list placement.
Non-football injury. Somebody punch him in the eye?
Non-football to reserve. Whatever, does that mean, he's on it, it's automatically ruling him out for the first four games. Tell us what NFI is.
Magical.
Hold on.
He's looking.
Magical's checking
it out. Yeah, because I'm like, did somebody punch him? Anyway, meanwhile.
Well, they didn't punch him, but he's facing significant monetary losses on his two-year $19.7 million contract.
Better get to work, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, he makes $30,000 a game and bonuses.
I tell you what, if somebody paid me $30,000 for, what are the games, 90 minutes or something like that, like real playtime, you know what I would be doing? Playing the game. I would be in the game. $30,000 for less than 2 hours, I would
be in the game. That's the bonus.
Oh.
That's the bonus.
Oh, okay.
His salary is $7 million for a game. 19 games. So that's like $500,000 a game almost.
I'd be in the game.
I mean, yeah.
With a black eye and all. Anyway, Magical, what's going on with him?
He led 2024 production with 1,016 rushing yards, 11 TDs, and 12 total touchdowns. Also topped team in scrimmage yards. I mean, this guy is the big leader.
Well, but they do have some.
They have some backups.
They have some backups. Magical, I hear something coming. Hand, mouth, foot disease?
No.
Oh, what?
It's just the foot injury.
Well, hand, foot, mouth disease would be non-football.
Casario's non-committal stance on this is really indicating that the injury is probably way more serious than has been initially disclosed, potentially dealing Houston's championship aspirations a little blow by removing their proven 1,000-yard rusher.
So maybe we would be more than pretty close if that this mixing thing wasn't happening. But that's okay. So let's talk about your guy, Arch.
Arch Manning signs awesome a three-year Arch. NIL deal with Warby Parker, boosts valuation to $6.8 million. Now, so Arch, I thought, wasn't doing any of this.
You know,
this is the third one he
has. You know, so here's the deal. So now Texas Monthly put out a long article
about.
It was great, wasn't it? And they said he was not. But I don't know because
I think it's just hard. First of all, I don't know what his deals are with Red Bull and Vuori.
I hope he's not drinking Red Bull.
He's been wearing Warby Parker glasses since like sixth grade or eighth grade or something like that. So this is a pretty. He's been wearing glasses since he was three, and he's been wearing.
Oh, and
those.
So there's a construction in the building, aka Lisa's phone. Keep going. That was off.
It's my sister this time.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Wait.
Hi, Melanie. So
I mean, what's the matter with my? I have the same schedule now. What are we at? 18 months?
Yeah.
I told you this. Everybody, you have to hear this. I have worked since 1977, and my mother's passed away 6 years ago. But so the years between 1977 and 2018 or whatever it was, at 9:30 every morning, my mother called and said, "What are you doing?" Every morning.
Talking to you. That's what she said, talking to you.
Anyway. Okay, so back to
Arch. Awesome Arch. So he's taking NIL money, and
yes,
so Warby Parker, Vuori, and who else?
Red Bull.
So this is the third one. Okay, yes.
Yeah,
so,
but Manning has an authentic Warby Parker partnership demonstrating how college NIL deals are evolving beyond pure athletics toward lifestyle branding. And
he's doing
a commercial with his dad for the first game, for the Longhorn game, the first game. But personal stories, positioning both as the most valuable player financially at $6.8 million and a cultural figure who can command premium valuations.
So let's talk about this a little bit because
brands.
I actually, we exchanged a note on this. I think I'm worried about him a little bit, and this is why. I feel like he is under so much pressure. Could you imagine, what is he, 20 years
old? No, I don't, is he 20? Maybe he's 20. He's probably 20. He's
19
junior?
Or 20, yeah.
Is he a junior?
Red shirt sophomore, I believe.
Okay.
So, yeah, junior age. But the point is, think about the pressure.
21. That,
21. So,
He's 2 years younger than CJ.
I don't know. I know he has a great family, so he's surrounded by people who understand all of these dynamics. But that is something I think about. Like, how is he feeling personally with all of this light on? Because he is not, he doesn't really like the spotlight in the same way, right? So, I don't know. What do you think, Lily?
I think it's, how can he not be stressed?
Right.
The whole state of Texas is looking, you know, is hoping on him. I mean, everybody, because nobody, I mean, we have how many Texas teams in the top 20, like five, I think.
Yes.
Five or six Texas colleges, mm-hmm. but nothing like this.
Well, and who was...
You know, to be ranked number one at the beginning, I scared as hell.
It wasn't Reggie Bush, but there was somebody who also went to Texas, a running back who used to walk around with sunglasses on. What was his name?
That was Reggie Bush.
Oh, what? No, Reggie Bush went to USC.
Oh, who was at Texas?
I forget his name, but I will look it up on the break. But he used to walk around with sunglasses on. And I think it's because, and this was back when Texas was really good before. I think it's because just under so much pressure. Like it's just a little thing to block out some of the noise. So maybe arch those sunglasses.
Make you look really cool.
Oh, God. That's
so
what you think.
So people ask for your autograph.
Oh, God. I think maybe.
Heller.
Or maybe he was on marijuana. I don't know. Either way, maybe. Either because he was stressed, so he's calmed down. I mean, this all makes sense. Ricky Williams, yes.
Thank you.
Used to walk around with the sunglasses on.
Okay.
Yeah. How do you not know this, UT Hook'em?
I think it was part of while I was in New York, to tell you the truth. I mean, as much as I was trying to watch UT, it was very difficult.
Yeah, I can see that.
On the East Coast. They were not on TV.
So I tell you what, I am so excited about this weekend forward.
Yes.
Because and I love baseball, but I'm like, finally, come on.
I mean, everybody's just happy for the noise.
So UT, big games. Okay, so Magical.
Who else is playing this weekend?
That's big.
Ohio State.
They play UT,
you
know that.
Well, hello.
And
they're
so
playing
who
UT.
Else?
Like, thank you.
They're LSU, I think, plays at the late game, like the 7:30 p.m. on Saturday. So if you're LSU fan, you're probably still asleep because I'm sure y'all stayed up all night. So you'll hear this on the playback. But yeah, I'm just excited. This is going to be a really awesome fall.
Season.
I do. I think there's going to be a lot happening, and Magical gave us the finger. So.
And we will keep you up with the World Series if the Astros are in it, and if not, goodbye. Baseball.
We're going to make what we won't be talking about is baseball boyfriend Scott Mustangs. Is that what they're called? The Mustangs, SMU?
Oh, we might talk about SMU. They're in the top 20 also.
That was a nag. It was a typo.
No, anyway, I don't think so.
No. Let's go
is
fact
SMU
check.
In Iowa?
Yes. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back.
I'm Siobhana Roberts-Schreiber, co-host of Culture Club HTX, here to talk to you about my other gig, CEO of SNR Creative Advisory. At SNR Creative, we're an elite team of seasoned professionals with one simple mission, partnering with our clients to creatively solve problems. Whether it's help with your business development, updating your communication strategy, or navigating a shift related to business transformation, our team of experts are here to help you think through that transition and execute it seamlessly. To learn more, visit snr-creative.com.
You're listening to Culture Club HTX on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time to take care of some business with Lisa Holland Nelson and Siobhana Robert Shriver.
Taking care of business.
And we're back. I'm Lisa Holland Nelson Bowman Lombardi, and I have my singing co-host here with me. I'm the fashionista. Bio Babe, Coach Nelson, part of the duet here. And I'm here with my, wait a minute, have to go look it up again because I keep having to move my phone stuff. My beautiful, blessed, brilliant, beloved bestie, who is also bold, black, and really bossy.
That's not on there.
Bossy's not
on there.
No, you told me
it's
Bossy.
It's amazing after. How you continue to remember that one.
Bossy, I will not forget.
You will never forget.
You keep telling me stuff
never
to do.
Forget. Oh, God.
You told me I can't invite anybody on without checking with you
because
first.
We have like 16 guests. So this is what you do, right? So you all know we have four segments, correct? Yes. We've had four segments for the last 72 shows. What does Lovely do? Oh, this person. I'm like, we already have four guests or three guests, and we don't even have that many segments. She just keeps inviting people.
I like people.
You do, but we got to schedule them. Anyway, so in business, we should have baseball boyfriend Scott give us his commentary on this. So what's happening with the Astros in Harris County?
They're suing Harris County over the first ever property tax on Daikin Park. And they filed a lawsuit against Harris County challenging this property tax assessment because Harris County is saying that Daikin Park, all the stadiums actually are owned by Harris County Houston Sports Authority.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not either county. You know, it's not, I mean, it's not Harris mm-hmm. or the city of Houston
mm-hmm.
who have like these, you know, waivers. So it's a huge challenge. I mean,
so and just for clarity, if you're owned or if you're owned by Harris County, then you get an exemption. So the stadiums typically get an exemption.
Yes.
But somebody said, well, Daikin has money, so we should charge them property
taxes. But the crazy thing is they evaluated the Astros' personal property at Daikin at $2.4 million, which is nothing. I mean, what are the property taxes? It's almost the lawsuit has to cost more than the property taxes on that at this point.
That's interesting.
But I'm sure that they just don't want to deal with it. And it matters because it could set a precedent affecting all major Houston sports teams.
Well, and then that's the valuation that they set now. But then what happens if that goes to $24 million? You know what I mean? All of a sudden, this money starts to rack it up.
Millions in new revenue for Harris County, which we really need.
Well, but that's what I'm thinking happens. Someone says, ah, ha, ha, I have an idea. Well, anyway, we'll see what happens. We'll keep our eye on that. And so, Lovely, we were talking about production. I thought we were talking about last week. So that you see that Bastrop has become a major film production hub with two new studios. This is in your department. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
So Bastrop, Texas is positioning itself as a major film production destination, and they have two new studio developments to capitalize on our enhanced film incentive program. Did you know about that?
I did know about that.
So what is the film incentive program, Magical?
It's just like you get a...
Get money.
Yeah, get money for
coming here and settling. Yeah.
So because of this, they anticipate there's going to be a surge in production demand as this incentive program continues to increase. It right now is $200 million and it's going to go to $300 million. And the timing coincides with the September 1st launch of an enhanced tax rebate up to 31%, marking Texas' most aggressive push to compete with traditional production hubs like Georgia and California. I did know Georgia was a film production hub because Tyler Perry, speaking
that's
of my dad.
Is.
Yeah.
Right.
But I didn't,
our
I didn't,
hero.
I didn't, you, Lord Zero. I didn't Lord know Zero. That. This is amazing. So what about, okay, so the economic impact, this is kind of interesting. So they project 1,000 jobs and over $50 million in economic impact in Bastrop. I mean, how many people?
Yeah, but
they
think it's going to expand to Houston as well.
There's
going to be a lot of production stuff that's really going to have to happen here.
Is this near Wombat, Bastrop?
What does Wombat mean?
That's where Scott's from.
He's not.
Wombie?
He was between Wombie and something.
Wombie and Bastrop?
Wasn't he from Lake or something?
South? No, I don't know. Either way, this
Wombie.
Matters because this spotlights us as a new production hub. And to your point, we stand to benefit because we are the state's largest media market.
Right.
So this demand for
post-production, crew talent,
crews and
location
all of
location shooting. Yes. All of it.
So so the overall film industry, in case anybody wanted to know, is valued at about $1.5 billion. And so we stand to benefit from a big chunk of that. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, pretty cool.
So what about 3D affordable?
So
3D
my nephew
printed.
Is doing this.
Okay,
I don't know if this is his company, but I should just say that.
So what is this?
Well,
this
3D
that we
printed affordable housing is, there's a new community under construction near Hobby Airport. And it's really amazing what they're doing. These giant printers that are kind of run by robots extrude cement like a tube of toothpaste. You know, they put up a slab or put out the slab and the things that are the wooden things, you know, the frame. And then they fill the frame in
the wood
with
the frame?
Concrete, which is 10 inches wide. So incredible insulation, anti-mold. You know, all the things that you really are great for Houston.
So check
especially.
This out. And the cost savings. So not only the cost savings that you get after the fact that you just mentioned, mold remediation, you don't have to do that, you know, air conditioning, et cetera, 10 to 15% construction cost savings and 80% reduction in labor requirements and near zero waste material.
So it's really amazing. So what's happening is these are two-story houses and the main floor is what's poured. So then it's you know, typical construction on the second floor, filling it out. But over 300 people have expressed interest in the 80 available units, making this the world's second largest 3D printed community after Icon Builds Georgetown Development.
So here is the question, and I think I know the answer, but I probably don't. So are you able to weather test 3D printed materials for housing? So for example, wind damage, storm damage, you know what I mean?
I would think they tested
before they started. Well,
you know. That would be pretty stupid because they're going to be liable if it doesn't matter, you know.
But I mean, how many things have we seen people do that?
Well, we have, but I know they've been. I know my nephew's been fooling around with this.
So he's buying a house or several, making, or like
he's
a company.
Building them, and he's building some community somewhere.
So can we ask him? Can we ask him? Yeah, let's ask him about this because I'm curious. Because basically, all of this at the end of the day, why this matters is that in addition to being near zero waste and the fact that you can construct your home 70% faster, and the timeline is shrunk down a lot. The homes are energy efficient and affordable, under $300,000.
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean that's pretty impressive.
I mean, it's pretty great, honestly.
It really is. I thought
these are small. They're 1,300 square feet. That's not that.
That's
small.
Not that small, right?
But you know,
so there are 80 units. Over 300 people have expressed interest.
Yeah,
and we shall see. We need to go drive by there, start talking to like, hi, just get out and start interviewing people, like a little tiny mic.
For sure. Let's
You're
go.
Like, sure, let's go.
Stand out by Hobby Airport.
Okay, so another, that's called, okay, I don't think we can say that word on the
What'd you just say?
I was going to say that's called, but then Magical said don't say the word. Other business news, where were we? And we said, we're going to talk about this on the show this week. We were somewhere this week and we're going to talk about it on the show. And I forgot what the it was. Where were we?
We were at the MD Anderson event for Dr. Katie Rezvani, and we were talking about, and it is definitely
a business thing.
It was business and community. So it was an extraordinary reception for Dr. Katie Rezvani, who is the head of the Institute for Cellular Research at MD Anderson and has created a protocol that is curing cancers and late-stage cancer patients. And patients that are literally ready to go to hospice.
Right.
And this is a cell, NK cells?
Natural killer cells. And the thing that's interesting, so just so you know, I mean, we will share more information about this because it's pretty amazing, is, right, they've, you know, this is in clinical trials, and so they have shown extreme success on like lymphoma, and there were several other
all
cancers.
All the liquid cancers.
And now the trials are moving to the solid tumor cancers. And the reason I thought business is because part of the thing that we were doing there is we were invited because either we're already a supporter of or are being cultivated to be a supporter of the research, because most people don't know that's how research is funded often. It's not the NIH, and she even said that. Don't say anything, lovely.
Especially right now, government funding has been held, which has stopped many trials.
You're so good
at MD Anderson.
Look at you.
That was very polite.
That was very media savvy.
Yes.
So anyway, we will share more information about that because it is truly amazing. And just 1 year later from the first time I saw the presentation,
this was our second event.
Oh, man, it was great.
The goal was just quickly to raise $1 million for her research over 5 years. We raised over $500,000 in the first year. And this was our second event, and the response was unbelievable.
And if you're interested in learning more about this and you happen to be listening to it, then you can email us at info@cultureclubhtx and we'll be happy to share.
We'll share.
We'll get you connected with the right folks.
Okay.
All right, and we're going to take a break.
Bye.
I'm Lisa Holland Nelson, Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer of Astounds, and we invite you to dive into the dynamic world of digital marketing services with us. Astounds is not just an internet marketing service provider. We're your gateway to the future of online marketing. With our innovative approaches ranging from great website design to impactful online advertising and social media, we'll equip your business with the tools to grow. We want the opportunity to astound you. Grow your business online with us at astounds.com.
This is Culture Club HTX on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios with the bio babe, Lisa Holland-Nelson, and her bestie for the restie, Shivana Robert-Schreiber.
And we're back. I'm Lisa Holland-Nelson Bowman Lombardi, the fashionista and bio babe co-host of Culture Club HTX. And I get to be bio babe in this segment. But first, I'll introduce my co-host, my beautiful, blessed, brilliant, beloved bestie, who is also bold, black, and really bossy.
Shivana Robert-Schreiber, the other half of Culture Club HTX. And shout out to you, Sandra, for making sure that Lovely remembers all the B's.
Well, she actually doesn't have Bossy on here.
Wait a minute.
That's the one I'm never forgetting, so it's not a problem.
Magical, do you hear this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no. We must have added that after she sent
we
the list.
Or you?
You told me you were Boston.
No, that's not true. Anyway, yes. Who do we have with us today?
I'm so thrilled. We have a fabulous guest today. We're joined by Devonda Peterson, the founder of the Catherine Simone Sickle Cell Foundation. Devonda holds advanced degrees in health-related fields and has transformed her personal journey as a mother into powerful advocacy work for the sickle cell disease community. The foundation was created in honor of her beloved daughter, Cameron Simone Williams, who courageously battled sickle cell disease throughout her 22 years of life before passing away in April of 2024. Rather than let grief silence her voice, Devonda channeled her experience into creating meaningful change. We're not talking 15 months almost, barely, right? 16 months.
Actually, it's
2025.
You're kidding.
Yes.
So four months ago.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. As someone who just celebrated this totally off the track, the second anniversary of my husband's death on Monday, and literally relived the whole day. Like last year, I was fine. This year, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you for what you're doing, and thank you for standing up and doing this. And we have sent you questions like we always do, but first, I want you to tell us what sickle cell is.
Yeah. So keeping it relatively general. Mm-hmm. I am in healthcare. My husband's a physician, but I'm not a physician. So the way I can best explain sickle cell disease is it is an inherited disease. And that inherited disease causes a mutated gene. Mm-hmm. That mutated gene impacts the production of red blood cells or hemoglobin. Mm-hmm. So over a period of time, what does that mean for someone with sickle cell disease? Well, it can mean a few things. It can mean anemia.
Yes.
It could also mean blockages because those abnormal red blood cells or hemoglobin, they get really clumpy and stick together.
That's the sickle part, right?
Yes. Yeah. They take a sickling effect. Mm-hmm. They get clumped together and they block blood flow oftentimes. Mm-hmm. When you block blood flow, you damage tissue and it causes extreme pain.
Pain, yes.
For someone with sickle cell. So typically they'll have pain in their extremities or their joints. It could be anywhere, but oftentimes you see that there. And then finally, over a period of time, you continue to have those episodes occur, you begin to have organ damage. Because you're blocking blood flow to your major organs. Mm-hmm. So your kidney, your brain, spleen, all of those are impacted by sickle cell disease.
Wow. So thank you for explaining that. Because we were actually talking about this earlier in our pre-production meeting. And me, as an African-American, I know what sickle cell disease is because it typically impacts African-Americans.
Right.
But Lisa was saying that lots of people don't necessarily know it. And this is a great point. It was a blind spot for me. So thank you, lovely. Let's talk about the fact that you started this foundation in honor of Cameron Simone. So tell us about Cameron. What was she like?
So Cameron, I'll just start from the beginning. When she was younger, very shy, very quiet, very guarded. But she also, very young, was wanting to be other people's advocate, and it was very obvious. With her sickle cell disease, sometimes she would kind of sit back and not really, she wasn't the girl that wanted to be out front or in front of everyone. But as she became older, she became okay and more comfortable in her own skin, even having sickle cell. By the time she hit adulthood and young adulthood, she was in full form. She was on her own. She was doing her thing. She called herself, she would refer to herself as a pineapple because she's like, on the outside, I'm a little prickly, but inside I'm very sweet.
Very sweet.
And that's who she was.
My favorite fruit.
From the outside, people would think, oh my gosh, she doesn't talk. She's not that friendly. Mm-hmm. But once you're in with her and once you become,
part of the crew.
Yes, part of her crew, you're in. So, but, even with that, she learned how to advocate more for herself having sickle cell disease, but then she also was very passionate about standing up for other people that didn't have their own voice. And when she would talk to me, she'd be like, Mom, I saw this person and someone was picking on them and I just did not like it. And so I said that, it was very, that
protector.
Very big protector, yeah. Even with me. Like, mm-hmm. if she, like, did someone hurt your feelings? Like, she was just a huge protector.
Wow.
You know, but as she became older, managing her sickle cell, she was actually 24 when she passed.
Mm-hmm.
Managing her sickle cell became more challenging because, I'm sorry, as I mentioned earlier, sickle cell, the older you get, oftentimes it gets, you have more issues
yes.
with it. And
yes.
managing became challenging, but Cameron was stubborn as she could possibly be. You know, in high school, you know, sometimes they limit your physical activity because mm-hmm. of sickle cell. Mm-hmm. This is, you just have to stay very hydrated. You can't overexert yourself. You know, she loved tennis but couldn't play it because of the sport itself.
Uh-huh.
But she did play, she played golf. She played on the golf team at her school. And was even getting recruited. And
oh, wow.
was just
good
like,
for her.
Yeah, but she was like, no, I don't want to play collegiate level. And mm-hmm. so, but also was very succeeded academically. So,
wasn't she in graduate school?
She was in graduate school. So yeah. she went to Texas A&M, mm-hmm. finished Texas A&M in 23
mm-hmm.
with her Bachelor of Science in Kinesiology, and then was moving on to get a doctorate in physical therapy. So
wow.
she was living in Austin, mm-hmm. Attending school at the time. But just, we started to become best friends. You know, so it was like she was like my text buddy every day, sending jokes, and mm-hmm. every night mm-hmm. the good night text, and
mm-hmm.
you know, so just
sounds like she was amazing.
Yeah, she was.
So,
she was,
what inspired you to turn this devastating loss into a foundation?
I think about all the things that she said to me, just mm-hmm. listening to her talk about her challenges with sickle cell. You know, I mentioned earlier, you know, we were blessed where we didn't have a lack of resources
mm-hmm.
with me. I'm in the pharma industry. My husband's a physician. So she had everything that she needed from a resource perspective,
yes.
but some things you don't have. And I read an article about sickle cell once that said, this is the most discriminated disease that mm-hmm. physicians have come across for a few reasons. And I'll talk about that in a sec, but listening to her talk to me about her woes with trying to find an adult hematologist, which is very difficult to find an adult hematologist that specializes in sickle cell disease.
Okay.
So I decided early on, the foundation was established probably within a week after she had passed.
Mm.
And we really wanted to, you know, kind of get some traction on that and get going with the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And just how we can best help. For me, that could mean telling my own story about her
mm-hmm.
or speaking out as an advocate. But also I think about, you know, how can we get out there and educate more with standards of care
yes.
for patients with sickle cell
mm-hmm.
disease? Because mm-hmm. as you guys, I've talked to nurses and doctors that don't know a lot about sickle cell disease.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
I mean, I've heard of it all my
we've
life.
Heard,
I
they've
just
heard
no
of it, just
idea
not
what
the details.
It is,
yeah.
actually.
So it's I get that a lot. So
yeah.
how can we how can we get that out there?
Yeah, so raise awareness.
Raise awareness more.
Yeah.
Because as you mentioned, it is primarily an African-American disease. Mm-hmm. One in every 365 births result in a sickle cell diagnosis.
That is a very
high
percentage.
Which is a high percentage.
Yeah. And you think about, and definitely not comparing, like a cystic fibrosis, that's one in every 2,500, 3,000
wow.
births. You know,
wow.
so, but cystic fibrosis, you know, is a little bit more, there's more awareness out there.
Yes.
For us. So how can we do the same with sickle cell disease? So that's really what motivated me.
Wow. Wow. Awesome. So what are some of the biggest misconceptions about sickle cell disease? Like, we don't know what it is.
Yeah.
There's the first one, but
right.
I guess since everyone thinks it's anemia, I guess I understood maybe it was a blood disease because that's what anemia is, but that's all I knew.
Yeah. Well, there are a few. I remember when Cameron was in elementary, the kids in our class thought it was contagious. And I've heard that before.
Really?
You know, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, that it's contagious. Now,
mm-hmm.
we were fortunate in that her school ended up bringing in a doctor that sat with the kids and talked to the kids
oh, wow.
to kind of lay out what sickle cell was and assure them that this is not something that you can catch from someone.
Right.
That's a misconception. Another misconception is that when patients have those pain crises and they go to mm-hmm. the hospital, oftentimes healthcare professionals don't believe the level of pain that they're
mm-hmm.
in. So they think their pain isn't as severe as they're saying that it is.
Or, and so then, oh, well. Especially with, you think about the opioid epidemic. And so right. then you are a person who actually is at a level 10 and you need the medication and they think that you're
a drug seeker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's probably the biggest misconception mm-hmm. that these patients are drug seekers when it's so the opposite.
I know is it joint pain? I mean, where yeah. is the it's, pain?
It can be joints, muscle, but it can be joint. Anywhere.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it can be in the chest. It can wow. be anywhere in the body. But I know with Cameron, she when we talk about pain medications, she did not like taking them because, you know, they make you loopy.
Yeah.
Or, you know, things right. like she didn't like the side effect of right. it. Mm-hmm. Right. So this population is really seeking that pain medication just for the pain relief alone.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
So. One of the things, so we talked about misconceptions. So obviously the foundation is helping to educate people, one, on the disease, two, raise awareness so others can be an advocate. So even if you yourself aren't impacted by sickle cell disease, you know what it is and you can advocate then if you do know someone or you hear about it and help right. educate people macro.
Right.
So how has the community responded to this, to you establishing this foundation?
I have had a very supportive village that have helped along the way mm-hmm. With establishing the foundation and getting the word out there. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of friends and colleagues that have shared information on the foundation. So that's been one. I have a couple of very large Fortune 500 companies that have, it's already a company, qualifies for a company match.
Oh, excellent.
For donations, yeah. So because great. It is a 501c3
right.
Non-for-profit. So you know, that's so I've fantastic. Had a lot of help there with my village, but also, you know, just I've talked to hematologists that want to help.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's another avenue that I plan to utilize. And from a standard of care perspective, how can we make sure that when these patients present at the hospitals, mm-hmm. that they're getting the proper standard of
yeah,
care to
the
help
people understand
yeah,
what
to
they
help
need
manage
to
the pain.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
You know, that's I think that's the biggest piece.
Yes.
You know, I just Cameron was once in the hospital at the emergency room, and the doctor, she was with her one of her friends that was trying to make her laugh to get her mind off of the pain. Mm-hmm. And the doctor said that he would not give her pain medication because she's laughing, so she can't be in it. There's no way she's in pain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so just those types of misconceptions. How can we establish a sound standard of care for these patients?
So if let's think 5 years from now, 10 years from now, what do you hope the foundation looks like? And what impact do you hope to have?
I think 5-10 years from now, I just hope that the foundation has impacted how patients are treated going mm-hmm. forward.
Mm-hmm.
It's impacted how it helped with access to more resources, mm-hmm. especially for adults.
Mm-hmm.
Children with sickle cell disease, it's not, I won't say it's easy, but there are many pediatric hematologists that can treat sickle yes. cell disease. From an adult perspective, there are a lot of adult hematologists, mm-hmm. but most of them specialize in oncology.
Okay.
They're not very specialized in right. sickle cell disease. How can we make sure that those resources are available, that patients are aware of the available physicians that treat.
And to know where to go.
And where to go.
Yeah, that's
so
great.
So that's really what I want. That I want the foundation to serve as that that resource for them.
Almost
to
like
go
a
to.
Bridge, right?
Yeah.
So it's from the healthcare professional perspective, but also from the patient perspective. You can go to the foundation's website, which we're going to ask you about,
yeah.
how people can learn more and get the resources or say, I am a resource and
correct.
I want to be listed on your site, for example.
Correct. Correct.
Okay, great. So how can people find out more about you and Cameron's Foundation?
A couple of ways. So right now we are, our website is launching, but we are utilizing our fundraising website right now, mm-hmm. and that's on GiveButter.
Okay.
So GiveButter.com/KSSCF for Cameron Simone Sickle Cell Foundation. So KSSCF. Also, there is an Instagram page set up already,
oh.
and it's Cameron Simone Sickle Cell. So
okay.
So it's KAMRYN Simone SIMONE Sickle Cell.
Perfect.
So there is an Instagram great. Page there now.
And I will say, because you know, the way we got here today mm-hmm. is Devonda, you posted some information on LinkedIn, and it was so well written and such a beautiful. I remember sitting at my desk thinking, I got to reach out to them. And I did. And I was
yeah.
like, hello.
Yeah.
We have a show. We want to bring you on because it was such a in my opinion, thoughtful and amazing tribute and an example of how we can alchemize those tough moments into something that can go forward and help other people. So thank you to, like, to Lisa's point. Thank you so much, because this is not easy.
Yeah.
And you lost your baby, and you're doing such a great job at, I think, continuing her legacy. I think she's super proud of you.
I hope so. She is. And that's really what I think of every day. Like, I want to just, I just want to make her proud. Like, I just want to make her proud. That's what keeps me going every single day.
Well, you're doing it, my friend.
God bless you.
Yes. And thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you.
We're going to go to a break.
We'll be back.
Are you a business owner and looking for a fun and low-cost way to advertise? Yes? Super! You should join our Culture Club HTX crew. Visit us at cultureclubhtx.com and click on Culture Club HTX crew, or send us an email at connect@cultureclubhtx. You'll be happy you did.
You're listening to Culture Club HTX on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you're wondering whose voice this is, it's me. It's the magical one, mystical, all the names. I'm doing these now. So prepare yourself and listen to Lisa Holland Nelson and Siobhana Roberts-Schreiber from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
And we're back.
Hi.
Hi. I'm Lisa Holland Nelson Bowman, the Lombardi, the fashionista, bio babe.
Do you need a card for yourself?
Coach Nelson, now I'm getting pulling up you.
I know.
No, it just went off. The light went off on my phone, on my cheat sheet. Anyway, I am co-host of Culture Club HTX, and here today with my beautiful, blessed, brilliant, beloved bestie, who is
anti-bossy.
Also bold, black, and bossy.
Mm.
Getting bossier every second.
You're welcome.
As we roll into the final segment, correct? Isn't she?
Oh my God.
Speak up, Michael. Magical.
Siobhana Roberts-Schreiber, the other half.
Everybody wants you back in the... Let's hear something vocal. People want to hear you.
Who's bossy? Speak up, Magical. Let's hear something vocal. Everyone, like, okay. Exactly. Y'all all saw it. You all saw it yourself. Siobhana Roberts-Schreiber, the other half of Culture Club HCX, executive producer and eighth wonder of the world. And we're here in our fashion, fitness, wellness segment. And we have some good stories today.
We really do. I mean, this first one, I am totally, I don't know, just tantalized by. Abercrombie and Fitch
That's
becomes
a good word.
The NFL's first ever official fashion partner.
I'm very confused by this.
Well, Abercrombie and Fitch, well, what it is, they've signed a multi-year partnership with the NFL, marking the league's first ever official fashion collaboration. They're going to build licensed apparel. How's that fashion? But anyway, the brand will blur the line between game day apparel and everyday wear through athlete-led campaigns, player-designed collections, and the debut of its style concierge service offering curated styling for NFL athletes.
Well, man, they didn't wait 1 minute. I just went to the website, but it's not good. Like, it looks like Starter. Do you know what the brand Starter? That was like, it's like Starter jackets, basically.
Maybe. Probably.
Yeah, I mean, this is not...
Well, it's not rocket science, but Abercrombie and Fitch didn't have to be rocket science. They just had great photography. And this
Hello, TJ Watt. Okay, that's good.
That's TJ.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty great photography. Of course, you kind of need to look like
that. It is the talent, not the technique. Is that what you're saying, lovely?
Whatever.
Whatever.
It's the historic first official whatever fashion partnership. The style concierge service is really interesting, you know, allowing NFL athletes direct access to Abercrombie's in-house designers and stylists. And
so
all
back
that
in
stuff.
The day, Abercrombie used to be the brand of the frat boy. Like, that was the look.
Teenagers and frat.
Yeah, so that's why I'm like, this is very interesting. Like, I don't know what it's going to end
up
being.
Well, I think it's had a tough few years. Like, there's been controversies and all kinds of things.
Yeah, so, okay,
so
we'll
originally,
see.
It was like Abercrombie was the casual wear of Brooks Brothers.
Oh, really?
I mean, that's who it was originally. It was very preppy.
They definitely went off the farm.
Well, they got sexy, and every teenager in America wanted to wear it.
I just remember those
and
little
they made
shorts
cool stores,
and yeah,
cool stores that you wanted to hang out in, and all the things. And then they kind of like either did too much of the same thing, or teenagers grew up. I'm not sure what happened, but this is kind of cool. I mean, the campaigns are going to run nationally across linear TV, CTV, HBO, Max, Meta, TikTok, and all the NFL-owned channels, and the marketing target is the focus on female fans.
You know what? It's too wiggly.
50% of NFL are female fans.
Well, yeah, that's a Taylor Swift effect. But I'll tell you what. It's not that they're marketing
Taylor's
to me.
Engaged. I'm so
oh, God.
Happy.
It's the fabric. It's all wiggly stuff. It's all like sweats and wiggly stuff. So I wouldn't be into
it.
Well,
you like structured clothing
yes.
more. But anyway, this groundbreaking partnership positions Abercrombie at the forefront of the sports fashion convergence, leveraging the NFL's massive cultural influence to expand beyond traditional retail while helping the league tap into fashion-conscious consumers, particularly women who want to express team loyalty through elevated style rather than basic fan gear. And the second thing that we're talking about stays in this whole NFL thing.
Well, but
thing.
This is in my territory. So Breitling becomes the NFL's first official luxury watch partner. This deal is kind of low, but that's okay. $30 million deal. And now this, yes, I can get behind. Right? But anyway, so the Swiss luxury watchmaker Breitling has secured a groundbreaking 3-year partnership with the NFL, becoming the league's first ever official timepiece. And a deal that's worth estimated $30 million a year. Oh, okay, that's a little bit better. So it's $90 million. The partnership will include 64 watch models featuring all 34. Oh, see, no, it's not good. Now they're going to have logos on them?
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
God.
What do you think it's going to be?
I don't know. Anyway, so 32.
Wait, this is her territory. I need to know.
What I thought it was going to be was just like, I don't know, some like quiet luxury, like a little NFL, like something small.
Hell to the no.
Not like a team logo. So the watch face is going to be like the Texans man or like Toro.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
You know how I feel about these things. Anyway, so they're going to have 64 watch models featuring all 32 NFL teams, colors, and logos, and they're going to start price up to $6,600. And this is Breitling's bold entry. You know what I'm telling you right now, what's going to happen? Real watch connoisseurs are going to stop buying Breitling because they're going to feel like it's too pedestrian with the logo, with a team logo on it. Dallas Cowboy logo? I mean, please. Anyway, yeah, I don't even want to read the rest
well,
of it.
Well, I don't think they care because I think they think this is a big enough deal that they
$90
really,
million dollars they care.
Yeah, yeah. No, they think that the Breitling's NFL partnership represents luxury watchmaking's boldest American sports bet, positioning the Swiss brand to capitalize on the NFL's unmatched cultural influence
I know
and affluent
what it is.
Fan base.
I see it now. Bullet number 3. NFL generates $10 billion for the Dallas Cowboys alone. So they're selling to the Cowboys fans. So of those watches they're going to make, they're going to over-index on Cowboys because those people are delusional and they'll buy anything. So this makes sense now. Okay, Breitling, that's a good move. Good move, good move.
Yeah, I don't know that they're going to sell a lot of Texans watches, but they'll sell Broncos watches.
They'll sell Cowboys for sure.
Cowboys for sure,
and
Broncos.
And they'll sell those
maybe the Giants.
Because that's, you know, what do they call it? America's team?
Oh, shut up.
No, they do.
I know,
so people even... So, okay, so we'll see. We'll see. It'll be interesting. And then the last
article I'm very fine with, and one of us isn't. So if it's me that's fine, guess who isn't?
Magical.
So Serena Williams has become the highest profile celebrity to endorse
that a
weight
Freudian
loss
slip?
Drugs in the Roe campaign.
Was so, that a Freudian slip?
No.
You said highest paid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tennis legend Serena Williams has partnered with telehealth company Roe in a multi-year campaign, becoming the most prominent athlete to publicly endorse GLP-1 weight loss medications. Williams revealed she lost 31 pounds over 8 months using GLP-1 injections after struggling with post-pregnancy weight despite maintaining her elite training regimen, positioning herself as a spokesperson for destigmatizing pharmaceutical weight loss solutions while navigating criticism about potential financial conflicts of interest. First of all, she lost 31 pounds over 8 months, which is a reasonable weight loss. It wasn't like she took a shot and lost all this money, number one. She started out with a different provider and moved over to Roe. She was training 5 hours a day and not losing money. I mean, not losing
weight. You keep saying money. I love these 40s.
Whenever I think of Serena, I think so.
She is into money too.
Yeah. But so anyway, she couldn't lose post-pregnancy weight. So I think I think you do what you got to do. You know me. I'm not carrying that weight around.
So here's the deal. This is what I know. Mm-hmm. You can train for 8 hours a day. And if you eat Supreme burritos from Taco Bell and Cinnabon.
Do we
it doesn't
think
matter.
She was eating
them? Notice all the things I've read about it, talked about her training, nothing about her diet. Nothing. And so I had this conversation with someone and they said, well, she has chefs. I was like, okay, so if you're paying a chef and you say, okay, I'm going to go on a low carb or whatever, do you think that if you say, I want a Cinnabon, they're not going to make it? They're going to make it because you're paying them. And then I'm going to say, wait a minute, Serena, remember? No, no beige food. No. So I, whatever, people. We'll
you
see.
Could be right.
I don't know. I just, I worry that anything that people think is the magic shot or Mr., you know, I worry about people then not doing their research and due diligence before getting involved. And the bigger the endorsements, the more likely I think people are just, it's telehealth. You don't even go to the doctor. I mean, that just feels not, that doesn't feel responsible to me.
Well, I appreciate that. But let's talk a little more, not Sabrina, but GLP-1s. Because everybody, people are taking them like crazy.
Oh, sure.
Okay. And I have friends whose cholesterol's lower, blood pressure's better. I mean, they are really in better health than they were before they started taking them. I don't know what happens if you stop taking them. Supposedly, they have been supposedly good for your brain and your heart. They're bad for something, but I don't remember what that is.
So here's the other thing. So I would just ask some of these friends, have they experienced things like paralysis of the gastric system, pancreatitis, hair loss, severe malnutrition, because if you're not hungry, then you're not eating. If you're not eating, then you're not nourishing your body. Muscle mass loss. So that's my point. Like, I just want people to think about it comprehensively. You know me. You can make whatever decision you want to make, but just own your SHIT.
You know.
No, I do. I feel like this.
I understand.
You remember FinFin. Do you remember people taking FinFin?
Oh, my God. People just disappeared.
And then they disappeared from the earth because they died.
Well, so, no, they got fat again is what happened.
God. But some people like actually have real other challenges as a result. So I think about GLP-1s, the trend like FinFin, where it's like, oh, this is great. And then wait a minute afterwards. I just want people to do the homework, the due diligence, and be sure that they are willing to, whatever the cost, that's fine, willing to take those risks. And then if it goes sideways, don't act like you didn't know. Because that's what people do. Well, I didn't know. Yes, you did.
She's telling you in case you didn't know.
Yeah, yes, you did. And I'm sure the drug, you know, leaflet that they give you tells you too. But I just know humans. And humans say, I want this because it's the easier thing to do, and which is fine. But you have to own your you know what if it goes sideways. And that's not what people do.
So I don't disagree with her. Do you hear that? I do.
So anyway,
I agree with understanding what you're doing.
Yes,
I think
fully
that's very important.
Ownership. Understanding
and
ownership.
But I don't think so. I don't think Serena's wrong to do it, and I don't think she's wrong to endorse it either.
And do you think it's wrong that she's taking the drug that her husband is an investor in the company?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Why would you go support somebody else?
Yeah, the competitor. No, yeah, I don't have a problem with
that
either.
Yeah.
That was the thing. I did hear some chatter about that part.
That's
I'm like,
ridiculous.
Nah, I think that makes sense. But anyway, so we'll see. We'll continue to follow this, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Brain fog. That's another thing I've noticed, because people aren't eating, so you have no nutrients for your brain. Anyway, okay.
You know, I think we've hit the end of the... Is there anything you'd like to say, Magical?
Why?
Because everybody wants to hear his voice.
You know what, Magical?
Not
you,
everybody. Sandra wants to hear your
voice.
Wow.
Called
it's true. Hey.
Well, at least Sandra wants to hear my voice.
We all want to hear your voice. I will tell you, Magical, you have become such an integral part of this show that people do... they call you Magical. That's what I think is great.
Yes.
And they ask about you. And they want to know what you're doing. And they're like, oh, I can't...
Where is he?
Yeah. They come to our they come to the events to see you. So you have to start coming to the events now, Magical.
Okay. Can I talk movies when I do?
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, come to...
For sure. You know, that would be really great.
That would be great.
We could have him the holiday one talking about the holiday movies.
Do they have holiday movies?
They do.
Yeah.
She's talking about on the Hallmark Channel.
I'm talking about
do you not watch all the Hallmark?
Wicked too.
You watch Hallmark movie channels though all the time, don't you?
A lot.
Exactly. I just want to
make Christmas all the time.
Exactly.
Why wouldn't
I? That's what I'm like. Not the ones you're talking about, lovely. Like,
no, I want to go see Wicked. What's it called? Wicked the something or other.
The redo.
The end. The whatever the second part is. And then you talked about there was some other Christmas movie. We'll hear more. I don't know. There's movies I want to see and I haven't gone. And
I just want popcorn, so I'll go for the popcorn.
I know.
All right. So we are at the end of the road. So what do we want people to do?
We want them to stay focused.
Stay fit. Now it's appropriate that I say that.
It is so appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
and stay fabulous, which is totally appropriate.
I mean, we didn't even plan that. Isn't that wild? We didn't plan that. It's so appropriate.
Well, we always say that.
I know, but we didn't plan it to be so appropriate for each of us. And so look at us.
Fabulous is my favorite word.
I know.
After fit.
Okay. Okay. Well, y'all have a good weekend.
I guess we're done. Bye.
We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Then you're left in the dust. Unless I stuck by you.
Do you love listening to Siobhana and me talk about all the things every Sunday here? Do you ever wish you could see what we're laughing about so much? Especially what Magical's laughing about? You're in luck. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and see the fun clips and outtakes from the show, as well as our super special series, Friends by the Fireplace, that we release every Friday. Finding us on YouTube is easy breezy. Type Culture Club HTX and voila, you're in.